See, well, let's just read about it. So this is the second Sunday after Easter, and we're going to read from Acts, and you can remain seated for this if you desire, which if you didn't desire, you'd look odd being the only one standing up, so I would stay seated, but you can feel free if you want. But anyways, Acts chapter 4, we're going to read verses 32 through 37. And it's not a very popular place to preach from, but it is in the church calendar, and I thought it was interesting. So we pray that God will deliver, and man and Jesse will be silent. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 32, reading in Jesus' name. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart. See that? Heart. One heart and one soul. And no one said that anything that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with this great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many were owners of lands and houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of that which was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, a native to Syria, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. Let's pray. One, because it sounds serious. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. Father, this is the implementation of the church upon earth, and it's the beginning stages. We pray, Father, that you would bless this word, that you would allow it to speak into our lives, that it would not be a detriment, but rather, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, it'd be an encouragement. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Acts of the Apostles is really exactly what it says. It is the acts of them moving forward. It is the church, if you could say, being established upon earth, and it's a recording of the first establishments. The one disclaimer that I want to put out there, and I don't know if it's proper or not to do it, but, you know, I don't always do everything that's proper, so. Everything when it's first created is probably at its purest form. And I want to understand that to a degree with this. That people were highly motivated. People were very involved and invested because they had just gone through the process of seeing Christ. And so I'm not making excuse for us that don't understand it fully and don't have the same willingness. But it's kind of like, you know, when you first get involved in something, boy, is it exciting. And it just changes your life. And you just really want to give it its all. And I think that's good, but I think that's in its perfection. But there were many that were desiring for Christ to come back right away. And so when we have a plan in our head and we think, well, he's going to come next week, he's going to come next month, he's going to come 2 years from now, we're a little more pumped up. But then we find that people get weary. And this is exactly what Revelation tells us about the different churches. He says, don't get weary. Continue on with that heart and understand that your Lord will come at any time. But sometimes, maybe you don't have this problem, so I can't lay it upon you. But sometimes, I forget. And I start to let everything else consume me. And it's because we live it. It's kind of like when we are going through a process of sharing with people and we say, well, you know, so-and-so has this problem, so-and-so has this problem, and you're in the Bible study, and we're all praying for one another. And then, and I've had this happen to me on many different occasions, people say, well, my problem's not that big. You know, I only have, you know, cancer in my thumb. But it's a real problem. And you are living through that problem, and it's very real to you. It's very serious to you. Don't gauge the seriousness of your struggles or your issues according to what you just heard from someone else. You know, so when we see the world going on around us and we see that, you know, there's a lot of difficulty, don't feel that your significance isn't important. God knows you. God loves you. God desires for you to know him and to have this relationship with him. And he watches. Not in a threatening way. He watches to encourage us, to protect us, to provide for us. How do we act in that provision? And that's really what this is bringing out. How do we act in that provision? Now, the apostles were having a very powerful time. We see from the beginning of Acts that there is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we see that in the coming of the Holy Spirit, they are able to speak in a language that reaches everybody. Everybody hears it in their own tongue. And we see that now the power of the kingdom of God is moving at a good speed. Very powerful. And we even find, just in the previous chapter of this, that 3,000 souls were added because of their preaching. And it says, even in the previous chapter before, that they also had all things in common. This basically means that they were in unity. They were firing on all cylinders. The word of God was powerful. But the people were very receptive. They had a hunger. They had a thirst. That's the first question that I would ask myself. How is my hunger? How is my thirst to know God? I can't gauge that for you. I can't gauge that for another. But do we desire to first and foremost to have that relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And do we understand the gift that he's given to us? And in that understanding, do we also now bubble or permeate of that happiness and that joy of the gift that's been given to us? And then if we were to say, yes, we do, Pastor, we're firing on all cylinders, and man, we're fired up because we went through the Easter season. We know of the crucifixion. We know of the resurrection. We know the gift that God has given us that we couldn't produce for ourselves. Well, then are you excited to share it? I'm not talking a prosperity gospel. That's a Cadillac in everybody's driveway. I bought a Caddy for $300. It sits in my driveway. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the joy of the redemption that is given to you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The mountain of debt that I had on this side and the grace that was poured out to me on this side. And you see a brother or sister that is struggling and trying to go through life and they feel the weight of the oppression. They may not even understand it. Do we share that love with them? Man, I know it looks dark. I know things look difficult. I know out there looks scary. But God loves you, and he sees you. And he wants you to have that freedom. That's what we're speaking about here. This text here speaks wholly about, in my opinion, how they know who the provider is. It's God. So anyway, a great deal of discussion that's going on. There's a great deal of receiving of the Holy Spirit. There's a great deal of the power of the church moving forward. It's just really something else. It really is. And I think it's just amazing if you were to take time and read this. But then there's a healing of a lame man. And it's kind of interesting because now there's an individual that wants to be healed. Well, not doesn't really want to be healed. He more or less is looking for goods. Right? Because that's what we're looking for. And that's what this text talks about, right? Is give them goods. And that's where you turn around and you find out Peter and John say, you know, we don't have any silver. The guy's lame. He said, but what we do have, right? We know the song. We will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up. This guy's 40 years old. They perform a miracle that no one has seen since the coming of Christ. Because Christ was able to do all kinds of things. And you have to understand something here. That when he was crucified, you could imagine in the human hearts, now what? Who's going to be able to do these things? Who's going to be able to give hope and give restoration to a race that so desperately needs it? And God does not leave us wanting. He gives to us. And so they have this ability to do this. God blesses them. In fact, the people are astonished by this. You can read this in Acts in the last chapter if you want to. They're astonished. And Peter stands up, he says, "Men of Israel, what's wrong with you? Why are you looking at us like we did some great work? It's not us. This man was healed in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified." They point to Christ. And that is also our preaching, our calling. To tell a world that's scared, to tell a world that's in wanting, to tell a world that probably has lost hope because they watch humanity around them and say, "Why are you disheartened? Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ has given everything for you and for me. If there is a miracle to be had, it is by his hand and by his name." The elders don't like it. They thought that when they crucified Christ, it was over. And I'm sure the adversary thought he won on that day too, didn't he? But the fact of it is, it was just the beginning. Jesus makes a statement in the Gospels. He said, "The works that I do," he says, you will do greater works than these in my name." Can you imagine that? We hear that and we're like, "Whoo! What aren't we going to be able to do?" I mean, Jesus raised the dead. What's bigger than that? He's not talking in the magnitude of the work. He's talking in the scope. That in reality now, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to enter out into this world. Many, many, many of us enter into this world and preach and proclaim. And Pastor, you're not really. Are you going Hulu on us? Are we going to have to start going through the whole pastor search program again? Are you saying that now we can sit there and raise people from the dead? Well, for God, that's child's play. But I think we do. I think we have that ability. In and through the power of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. Because you know what? There are people in this world that are lost and dead in sins and trespasses. They have no hope. And we have the ability to bring life by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, through his word. We are able to preach life into them. So yes. There, you got it on record. Pastor thinks we can raise people from the dead. Now you decipher the dead. I'm not going to limit God. If he wants someone to pop up, that's his business, not mine. But we have the ability to bring this word throughout this whole world to reach so many people and to bring life and hope to them. So he's really moving in this popularity. They thought they were done with it. And here it is. Now they're going out into this world. And actually, through the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the dispersion will come, and this will even spread his word even farther. God has a plan. Do we understand that for our lives too? God has a plan that is much bigger than just us. So anyway, they're sitting here, and they understand that this man was basically about 40 years old, and this is where the elders can't argue. They wanted to take and persecute these guys. They wanted to beat them in a submission or something, but they couldn't refute the fact that everybody in town knew this guy was 40 years old, he could never walk, and by the name of Jesus Christ, he was healed. So they let him go. When they let him go, it says that they go back and they report to the elders, and everybody is celebrating this great victory. They're celebrating the great victory. And they turned around, actually, and they said, "We are not to listen to you. We are to listen to the word of God. We don't obey men." Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's no difference for us. We are to obey the word of God. We are to enter into this world and share that gospel. We are to continue to preach the word no matter what and not listen to what man says. Because they would shut us up. But we continue to preach. So, it seems that things are just kind of going well. And now we come to this text. And finally, this crazy pastor, after he gives you some history of the power of the working of God and the power that really is establishing his church upon this earth, Now we're going to get an insight a little bit for the second time, because in the previous chapter it also makes these same kind of comments. And so now he says, now the full number of them who believed were of one heart. It all begins in the heart. That's why, I brought that up in the very beginning of the message. It's not legalism. It's not a have to. What is the condition of the heart? What is our motivation with all of our giving? That to me is one of the most interesting things. I know that there are some here that, have a heart that just is amazing in giving of time. They won't stop. Mine's not always that way. See, we always take this only in a monetary value. Sometimes it's easier for Jesse to write a check and say the problem's over. But no, the ministry of God takes much more than just a check. God has the purse strings of the world. But what about our time? What about our prayer life? Are we willing to offer everything before God? And it says, these people were of one heart and one soul. They were focused in Christ. They saw no difference in everything else. And the funny part of it is, if we look in this world right now, everybody's pointing out the differences and telling us not to look at it. That's what I don't get. As we spoke before, we get so angry about diversity and we say we shouldn't be like this. We should all be the same. We should all think the same. But the fact of it is, there is beautifulness in diversity because you will see things that other people don't see. But the fact of it is that we work for one common goal, one common function. To glorify God and to allow people to know of his great works. They had one heart, one soul. And they were not turning around and saying, well, this is only of mine. This is my item. This is my item. And yes, it is talking here in the materialism. But this is not my pulpit. This is God's pulpit. Oh, I don't stay behind it a lot. But this is not my church. That's one of the biggest things that I know we say it. Where do you go? I go to Jesse's church. Please don't go to my church. I go to God's church, and Jesse's a servant there. But in other words, they weren't claiming these things. And the reason I say this is, yes, we could say that very much about our material things. And I think we really, in a healthy heart, would say that. These are not my things. They are on loan. If I'm wrong, then show me how you're going to take them with you when you leave this earth. You're not. Well, if they're yours, you should be able to take them with you. I won't tell you the joke about the pavement because that's too long. But anyway, someday I'll tell you that one. But the fact of it is, he's talking here about having one heart, and no one was claiming anything to themselves. We all have different gifts and abilities. There's no doubt about it. But what are the gifts and abilities for? For me? Erica has a beautiful voice, doesn't she? And it's a gift that God has given her. But if she only sang to herself in the shower, it wouldn't do anybody else any good. Her gift is really shared in the congregation where we can receive of it and enjoy it also. I don't want you just to utilize your gift only in your home or only with certain people in your family. But that all of our gifts and our abilities would be shared with the congregation, with the body of Christ, and actually exemplified throughout this world. See, the reason I bring this all up is Jesus says very plainly, they will know you are my disciples, how you love one another. To be able to share what we have, not only with each other, but all those around us. Isn't that something that you admire in somebody? Maybe we don't if we're not healthy in our mind. We might not be so healthy and we might get jealous. But when you watch somebody that has an ability and they actually are not afraid to share that ability with other people and say, man, I love that about that guy or this girl. They can go and speak in front of people and they're not even nervous. But see, they're doing it to benefit the body. That's why they're doing it. Doing it with themselves isn't going to help anybody. But the fact of it is, he said, they didn't claim anything to themselves. He said, but everything they held in common. He says, and now, he says, there was this great power from the apostles. And he said, and they were giving testimony of the resurrection. People were being encouraged by the living Christ, not a dead Christ, not a historical Christ. They were being encouraged with the resurrected Christ. And it says, very straightforward, grace was upon them all. Unmerited favor was poured out on them all. How? By the testimony of Christ. And this is really what he's saying, is that the apostles, they were encouraging the congregation. They were sharing with the congregation. And they were telling them about Christ being resurrected and resurrected in their favor. And this was pouring grace upon them, that they had this hope of restoration. And so when they were sharing this, this actually worked within their hearts and gave them the ability to do exactly what they're called to do. He says, and in that group, there wasn't a needy person. Isn't that amazing? There wasn't a needy person. Because people were attuned, they were listening, they were meeting the needs of the congregation, of the people around them. But also, they were receiving themselves. They were in the hearing of the word of God, and they were receiving that strength for themselves. It's kind of amazing. So he says, they were in this facet where there was not a needy person among them. And for as many were landowners of houses, and they sold them, and they brought the proceeds that were sold. He says, they turned around, and their heart was so open to this, they were willing to let go of everything. This is the work of God. This is not the work of man. Tell me how quick you'd be willing to do this. I'm not saying I would. But what I'm saying here is it was the motivation of the heart. You don't see a government stepping in. You don't see anybody else. Now, have we experienced this? Absolutely. I'm going to tell you one thing that someone did for me in generosity, and I just was amazed by it. I was very, very broke. My brother was in the hospital in Marquette, down in Marquette. And he was down there for long-term therapy. And we had four children at home. I was in the seminary. We had no money in the bank. I had bald tires on my Suburban. And my brothers were flying up from New England to meet with all of us. And I was kind of in a headspin. And Judy never worries about money. But this time, I wasn't focused. So Judy was worried because we couldn't pay our bills. And some gentleman walked up to me in church. And he walked up to me, and I usually get up after church because I'm a talker, believe it or not. And I usually go and chat with everybody. But I was sitting, after church was over, I was sitting in my pew, and I was just looking at the cross, and I was praying for my brother, most likely. Not acting holier than thou, but I'm usually gone, so I must have been doing something. This man came up to me, and he had tears in his eyes. And I want you to understand something, not to bring judgment, but this man did not believe in what I was doing. He did not believe in me going to seminary. But he pulled a check out of his pocket and he says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but God told me to give this to you. And I didn't even look at it. I said, I do. I need it. And I took it. I thought it would be for literally like $100. And I thanked him. And when I got out into the car, I handed the check to Judy and she started crying. Because it was more money than I made in a month. And she said, I've been praying about this because we need exactly this amount of money. That man wasn't going into it for his flesh. He didn't agree with what I was even doing. But he listened to the Spirit. That's what this is talking about. I'm not asking people to sell their homes. I'm not asking people to do it. Now, if God is calling you to do it, I'm not going to stop you. But it is the motivation of the heart and the speaking of the Spirit in our lives. We have a desire to allow God to show his goodness, even through us. And I'll tell you what, not a works righteousness thing, but God has blessed that man immensely. And when I actually found out what it was and how much it was, I couldn't speak, but I wrote him a letter, and I pray that he enjoyed it. Because one of the things I wanted to share with him was the gift was beautiful and necessary. And I even told him in the letter that when you see my vehicle with new front tires on it, you can be thankful my children are safe because God allowed you to provide. I said, but one thing I'm going to say above and beyond all that, it's not the money. It's that you obeyed the calling of the Spirit of God, even if you didn't understand it. Brothers and sisters, that's what he's talking about here. He's not saying we can't own homes. He's not saying that we won't have things. But are we willing to listen to the speaking of the Spirit of God in our lives? Not what I think God should want, but what God is calling us to do. This is living in common. That when God speaks to me and says he, she, or them need something, that we would be willing. And that might not be money. It might be to swing in and have a cup of coffee and have a prayer. It might be to ask somebody, how are you doing today? Or when you know they're going through a difficult time, I'm terrible at this, forgive me. I send a card. Some people are good at it. Teresa Wagner was a great card sender. Ben and Connie's come with a little stuff inside. You don't know. You got to open them over a trash can. She's good at it, but messy. But what is the gift that God has given you to share with those in need so that we could all be encouraged? Neediness is not just about money. It can be emotional. It can be spiritual. It could be so many things. So anyways, there's even now a point here that's kind of interesting. There was actually now a description given here. There's one of Joseph who is called Barnabas. So there's a lot of Josephs in the scripture time, so having a nickname would actually help us tie them together. And really, he's the encourager. That's what this word means. And he was a Levite, so he had definitely some good lineage, some good bloodline with him. And so anyways, he sold a field that belonged to him. And I think this is just so amazing. Because he sold this field. I don't know if it was an extra piece of property, what it was. It's not my description. But what did he do with it? He took the money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. He wasn't worshiping the apostles. That's not what it's saying. How many times does Jesse give a gift and then wonder where the gift went? Wonder how the gift was used? Honestly, even like at Camp Lethe, I've probably only gotten about, in my 7 years of being there, probably 5 gifts that were designated. Because people, I try to encourage them, give the gift and we'll use it responsibly. And this is what it really speaks to me. Pastor Jay used to say it to us in Painesdale all the time, when we give a gift, we give it and forget it. Because God is the one that has provided it. And so this is what they did. They gave a gift and they left it there. And this is really opening up to another conversation we won't get to. But we're now the next people that sell a field, property. They pretend that they give it all to God, but they don't. So they wanted to look good in the body of Christ. That's written in the next chapter. They want to look good in front of everybody. And the apostles say something very interesting. Why'd you do that? Wasn't it yours? You could have done anything you wanted with this. And really, you're not lying. You're not lying just to these men in front of you. You're lying to God. See, God gives us liberty. We don't have to pretend to be anybody else. He gives us liberty. He gives us freedom. But really what he's calling out for, I have poured everything out before you. I have given you everything you have. What is your heart? What is your heart? Remember, I know I can be nailed on this, but it's not just about money. What is it? Time? Prayer? Encouragement? Humbleness? We all have gifts. May we use them for the furtherance of the kingdom. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. We're singing a song.